heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
I was thinking back to delivering the newspaper as a young boy. I don't even think they do that anymore. Do they have newspaper delivery people anymore? Most of us don't read the black and white newspaper anymore for a whole host of reasons. Back as a young boy, I remember delivering that paper. In fact, I had a whole series of routes. I was very capitalistic, very entrepreneurial as a young lad, and I used to deliver all over the place the newspapers. And in fact, I used to go to the store and buy things and sell them to the kids in the neighborhood as well. Very, very entrepreneurial as a young kid. But the newspaper route was very unique, very interesting, because, you know, this is a way you could learn as a young kid, interacting with people, delivering the newspaper, but also interacting with them. And at that time, we would collect the money. We did it all. And I started thinking where the honesty was in the media back then. And of course, there wasn't any social media specifically, right? That didn't really exist. But, you know, at that point, the stories would come on just a newspaper type print, your old black and white kind of thing. And it really was all black and white. We really didn't have color then either. It wasn't the USA Today, even before then. So your newspapers were pretty much that way. And I got thinking, well, was that the time there was real news? I mean, did we look at that and trust the sources and trust the stories? And I started thinking about politics and then again, you know, my own family dinner, sitting at the table for dinner and the way some of those conversations might have come up, you know? And I'm thinking back in my mind that, I don't know, a lot of that stuff was corrupt back then too. And certainly Walter Cronkite had his little idiocracies and tendencies to stretch the truth. So, you know, we look back and I hear a lot of people today, they reference Walter Cronkite like that was the man or that was the day when everything was good. But, you know, people, I'm going to tell you, not the case. This crookedness and the corruptness and evil in our media and social media, it's been here all along. It's been here all the way through. I know we always think in this newer generation, we always get to, oh my God, we're living through this, like the worst ever. And we all do that. I mean, come on. I mean, I could talk to you any on the phone right now. We'd have a conversation. You'd say, oh my God, you see how bad it's gotten? Now, there's a whole host of reasons we'll talk about that today, why that's gotten bad or what that really means. But I'm going to suggest to you right now, throughout the history of mankind, it has never really been so-called perfect. I mean, it has been bad all the way along. And, you know, they've always stretched the truth. Everybody has an agenda. They've always pushed the agenda. And so all those stories that I was delivering as a young boy, I'm sure probably the vast majority of them were probably straight out lies and crooked as hell, just like today. The fake news media, I mean, sure, Trump might have coined it and branded it as such, but he didn't invent it. He did not invent that. That's been here right along because, listen, that's what mankind is. Everybody has an agenda, and we're seeing that right now. I've got a few things today to talk to you about on this level of how we come back from this, if we can even really come back from this. And the overarching message today, really, truly, is the resiliency or not of America. I want to talk to you today about our resiliency. Just have a real conversation about, because right now, a good many people are running around and with the Chicken Little syndrome and the sky is falling. And I get that theory. It seems like your world has gone off and the lights and the water have all been turned off when your, you know, favorite leader goes down the tube, or they think he has, or you know, or they're not counting the votes, or they are counting the votes, or the stuff. I don't want to talk about the votes today. I don't want to talk about that stuff. That stuff's going to take its time. It's going to come through. We're going to see what happens, sure. But also, it's interesting to step back and take a look how we got here and how this thing was even anywhere in the stratosphere of even being a few million votes apart is stunning. however the final numbers fall, and hopefully that can all be turned around, we pray. That's going to take more than prayer probably at this point, though. Of course, my Christian friends will argue with me on that point because they count on God for everything, thinking God's going to fix all of our everything that ails us, all of our evils. God's going to fix it. A lot of people don't understand. I continue to tell you, God gives man free will, so we can kind of screw up our own program. He doesn't kind of fix everything as we go along, you know, like the breadcrumbs of life, right? Just picking up and fixing our problems. Doesn't really work that way. Have a hard time convincing some people of that. They really are convinced that God is totally in control all the time. He's got this whole thing. I don't see it that way at all. I think this whole experiment of life and experiment of America is not about God having every step figured out along the way or can fix every one of our ails, everything that, you know, ails us and all the evils in the world. And I know a lot of people would like to think that, but it doesn't work that way. I mean, he didn't give us all a brain and the power to make free will and then say, okay, now I'm going to correct everything you screw up, man, okay? Doesn't work that way, people. You got to stop that. And everybody says, well, he's in control. He's got it all. I don't think so. I think man's got a brain for a lot of reasons. And no, listen, there are some big events. He may very well put his weight on the scale. I'm not suggesting he doesn't, but I'm suggesting the mess we make for ourselves, I think that comes on our own record. That's our own deal. That's not God's deal. That's our deal. We made the mess. We probably, you know, the old lesson we learned as kids, right? Make a mess, you crap your pants, you sit in it for a while until somebody comes along and changes your diaper and cleans up your ass a little bit, right? Pretty much that's where we're at right now, cleaning up our backside with the media and the social media and this resiliency or not of America, because a lot of people believe we're done. We are absolutely done. The fork is there, the fat lady has sung, and we're out to lunch. Well, we'll find out soon enough, probably. But the more and more I think about it, and I've been thinking about how the strength of America and what that really means. Got to be careful, though, sometimes we put that out and it becomes sort of a caveat, an asterisk, for people to screw up more and say, yeah, America is invincible. It's not going to go anywhere. Some people actually believe that. And I don't know about being invincible, people. Not sure about that at all. I mean, we may be God's gift to humankind here at the moment, or at least we think we are. Not sure about that either these days. Can you really count on that, you know, with all the evil going on in America? Hard to say that we really are, isn't it now, you know? So, again, this corruptness as a boy, as I was delivering the newspapers, I'm sure it was all there. I'm positive that it was very corrupt back then. I mean, I can feel it, and I am sure that the papers I were delivering, I don't know how much of it was fake, but by golly, I'll bet you at least half of it was, might even be more than that. So I think the fake news was right there back in that time. It was, and I'm not going to tell you when that was, but it was long enough ago, I guess, right? And, I'm sure it was there, and Donald Trump wasn't on the scene then, although he was here, and, so he coined this whole fake news thing and all of that. But again, this whole fake news thing has been around forever. And I'm sure it was, you know, back at the hieroglyphics as well. It was probably on the caves back then, you know, in Egyptian time. I'm sure the hieroglyphics, probably part of that was all false as well, right? I mean, listen, people, this didn't all happen. And when they came off the pilgrims, hit Plymouth Rock there, that's not when it all started. Evilness has been in play here is from the, from the garden scene, clearly, back to the apple, right? And everything moves forward from there. And we just keep messing up and messing up and messing up. Yeah. So back to the Walter Cronkite and the media and the social media and all of this that's happened today. And it's pretty... It's pretty odd to look at all this from a different lens and step back, but I think what I see now is what has changed is our connectivity, this whole communication thing. And what really is a gag here, and part of what I want to talk to you today as well about, is the social media aspect and whether you are or are not on social media. I got news for you. The world is there. I mean, you can stay off of it and think you're accomplishing something for mankind, and that's fine. But the world is there, and they are on social media. Now, social media, these tech giants, these oligarchs now, they were very clever how they did this. Really, really super clever. So they built these little fiefdoms here that they got, I guess is what I'd call them, little fiefdoms. And of course, Zuckerberg did it in his college campus when he stole it from the twins there. You remember that story, right? Smart little prick he was to get rich like he did, huh? And, there's a series of these social media outlets now that are pretty massive. I mean, Twitter and Facebook at the top of that, but YouTube, Google, I mean, all these tech giants, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. But I started thinking, how do they get us all attractive into this world? How do we get, at first it was, we were just going to connect your family and friends, your little circle of influencers, you see? And you could share different things. You could share information, how you felt, what you had for dinner, what time you went to bed. If you were in a good mood or a bad mood or had a fight with the missus, you throw that all on social media. It's like your dirty laundry taken out to the sidewalk, put it on the sidewalk, open like hell, the trash man takes it away. You heard it? That's what social media was. It's more of a current day trash man. You just go on there and you tell everybody you're proud. It's like a psychologist. It's cheaper than that, though. You know, you don't have to pay him $150 an hour, you see. So they attracted all these people, and it was by the millions. But then a lot of people, there were a special group of people who became influencers. And these people, like, invested oodles of time. I mean, massive amounts of time. Now, as an entrepreneur myself, I did not do that. I really was never really that infatuated with the whole idea. First of all, I was spilling my guts and putting my dirty laundry on the web, where the social media was never an attractive scene to me. I didn't get that theory, but, that's really what was happening. And people started putting that all out there, sharing things, and then you had this small group of influencers. And these people started following everybody. Now, they went beyond the friends and family deal, outside of the circle, and they started attracting everybody. I mean, they went into your circle and gathered your families and friends, and they went into the next person's circle and gathered their families and friends, and then they became important. They became an influencer on social media, and the more thousands and thousands of that you had, the more people you could reach, and then you had a little power. So it was like a politician, like anything else. A little power goes to your head. And there are a lot of those people on social media. I've met a few of them. Once they add a few more zeros to their numbers, they think their backside don't stink at that point, you see? They feel important. And that's how you do it, through social. You don't need really an education for that. You just got to be a little clever and throw enough stuff out and be able to capture people to get them into your world. So that's how the whole thing started. And the best part about it, people, it was free, totally free. The only problem is you had to sell your soul to get in, you see. That's the dirty laundry piece of that business, you see. But then they had all this information. And then you started putting all the, like, your birth date and where you went to school and, you know, when you took a thing and a thing and a thing. And all that stuff went into social media. And now they had all this information as well as what you were doing that you were telling the world. Well, I did this. I did that. I dated a little Susie over here, pissed off Becky, and did this and stole a couple of cucumbers last week from the supermarket. You know, or whatever. You put some other laundry out there. You're having some financial problems. You've got something else going on. You're just going to tell a few little friends and family just in your circle. Hey, this is Dan here. And I'm, you know, having a few challenges right now. You know, I lost my job. And good golly, the electric bill's due. And I got to pay the bills. I'm looking for work. Anybody has any ideas? Flag me, call me, pin me something, man. Let me know. And people started doing that. Then a few years ago, I seen that, well, this is a great place for your bill collectors to go to find out what the hell you're up to. And I thought, wow, isn't that clever? Interesting place. We put the dirty laundry out on the sidewalk, and then the people come by and see it all, and the strangers and the people who are looking for you. Terrific. That's a real smart idea there, huh? Now those people, and then beyond your bill collectors over here, then you have your little child snatchers, you know, the evil little pedophiles and all those people. Those are the worst possible denominator on the planet, those people, you know what I mean? And then the trafficking people, other evil types of people. These are sort of the creatures of hell. this is Satan's playground now. The creatures of here, a lot of this is, they say, on the dark web, although I've never been there, truth be told. I don't know if you have. I wouldn't even know how to access it, let alone anything else, right? But I know there's a lot out there, they tell me, and there's a lot of evil out there. Of course, a lot of us don't, if we don't have that direct contact with it, we may not recognize it initially, and we kind of push it off, you know? It's like, it really is not going to impact me, or hasn't really, you know, messed up my life yet. So then you were the product. It was all free. You got attracted. The oligarchs sucked you in. And then, you know, all these other people, these evil people, there's this whole parade of bad people. And then people that are also, you had the criminal intent of just those people who were looking to, house grab something or steal from your you know, jump into your life somehow, grab your identity. You lose your false identity, what they call stolen identity, is it? Yeah. So they get all that. And so now you got that whole group over here of, you know, these are the Satan people. These are the evildoers. They have nothing better to do in life than to screw your life up. That's their whole goal in life. That's their whole deal. They have no other skill sets. Their only skill set is to make you miserable. You see, they're the people who would pickpocket you, take your pocketbook, slam you over the head and leave you on the sidewalk. Plenty of those people on earth here. Nobody wants to talk about that, but these people are all over us. A lot of them are in Congress as well, I'm afraid to say, probably, huh? Evil is everywhere, people. And there are oftentimes it's closer to you than you think or you know. You don't really know, do you? You think you know somebody and then you don't really know them. We all have that other side, that twisted cousin of ours or twin sister or brother of ours who are double personality. The little evil Joey comes out of Joey every now and then. So hold other side to that person. You thought you knew Joey. Yeah, Joey ended up being a mass murderer of some sort. You know, we don't always know Joey. But we can all hide that. Then we're hiding that on social media. So you got that. It was all free. Now we got all this information on us. And then the social media oligarchs and all the tech giants, they just turn around and they say, now we're going to tighten the screws up. Now we're going to tell you what to think, how to do it. Now we're tracking all your information. We got, and Google does the same thing, and YouTube, and we know who you are. We know what you like. We know what you think. We're searching everything about you. Now we're going to throw you, and it started innocently enough. Now they're going to give you all those ads, that things you're looking at. You've known this, you've seen this. You go look for a pocketbook of some sort. And all of a sudden you got, like, minutes later, all these pocketbook ads all over the place. Pocketbooks are coming down from the ceiling. Pocketbooks are everywhere. You're like, golly, I only put one request in to look for a pocketbook. What the hell happened? The whole world knows I'm looking for a pocketbook. And you got pocketbook ads everywhere. More pocketbooks than you can ever shake a stick at, people, right? But they now know what you're looking for. They know what you're thinking. They have all this evil information. And you got all the bad people over here. And it's still free. It's still free. But they're just terrorizing you now and tearing your life up. And then we're still going there because, you know, this is like crack now. It's all the endorphins you could possibly handle, the drugs, whatever drug of your choice, whatever it is. I'm not saying you're a druggie or a drug dealer or a drug user, but this is the drug of choice, okay? You give it a little hearts, a little followers, a lot of likes, a lot of people start, man, now you're really feeling good. And you might be even an influencer, okay? Now you're doing well, even though they know a lot of stuff about you. And you got all that going on there. And then now they step back and, you know, they you can just see that visual there. The big tech giants, they put their feet, their sloppy shoes all over the desk, light up a cigar, about a glass of bourbon. And then they celebrate the fact that they have you won over the cuckoo's nest, you see. And their stocks are rising. They're making gazillions of dollars. Money is not the issue for these people at all. And you wonder why, because you ain't paying them anything for this benefit. Nothing. Not a darn thing are you paying them for this benefit. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's how to screw up your life in three easy steps, you see. And we've all invited this in, this technology, this communication now that is running everybody's life all over the place, all this social media. And then we all wonder, we run around now and we wonder, what happened? Why do they know so much about us? And why are they controlling our lives so much? And we don't like what they're doing. They're censoring us, man. Well, these people always did have an agenda. That was all part of the game here, part of the political agenda. They just had to capture you first. See, once they capture you into this, it's like a web, that Charlotte's Web deal. You see, they got the web and you get caught in that web. As social media, now they're going to pull the web. You see, they're going to pull you right in. Okay. That's what they're going to do. And then they got you. And then they can call the shots because now, first of all, you're dependent on them. They are your crack cocaine. And you are now dependent on these people. You've got all the, how many hours have you invested? I know people out there, this is their life. They spend, my golly, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20, 200, I don't know, like a ton of hours on there, man. It's their whole life. Everything they do evolves around that social media deal. So what's changed today with the social media and the media and no longer the newsprint that the newspaper boy, little Malcolm, was delivering to your home was the fact that we weren't really connected. They were still lying like hell back then. They were always lying. These lies have been coming forth all the way through humanity. We've had them forever. Our parents had them, the grandparents had them, the great-great-parents had them. They had them when the pilgrims landed. They had them with the hieroglyphics and they've had them all the way through. They had them carved out on the pyramids, you see. Everybody's been lying. They're all a bunch of liars, okay? And so nothing really changed. And even though today we run around thinking the sky is indeed falling and we're all screwed and America's socialists and there's no resiliency here. We're dead. We're dying. That is the order of the day right now. We were so dependent. Not only were we dependent or codependent on social media, the oligarchs and the tech giants, but we were now also codependent on President Trump. We became a society that had no other way forward. So now people think, my golly, the sky is falling. He is the savior. He's the only man that's going to be able to fix this thing. We're such a mess. We're a train wreck totally. Is this making any sense? Huh. We come through all these years and all this time later. And now we find that these tech giants and oligarchs now have us right by the kahunas here, right? Right by the kahunas, they say. Yeah, and they got us right where they want us. And the media giants and the networks and the ABCs and CBSs, NBCs, and all of these clowns, they also have us right there. And they're still lying and they're still spewing garbage. But now the technology connects us. Now all of that technology and the lines of communication connects us as a people. And now when you put it out there, all those little secrets that were only for your little circle of family and friends in the neighborhood, it's now all over the world. It's now just not even on your sidewalk with a garbage man to come get it, but everybody knows you're garbage now, including the people who were looking for you and the evil people who would love to take advantage of you. So, you know, now we look around and we say, what happened and where are we really? What, you know, how do we get back from this thing? Well, I'm starting to kind of get a suspicion we're going to have to make a few adjustments, my fellow Americans. And if we continue to do what we've been doing, it probably isn't going to change much. It's probably not going to change much at all. We're going to continue to go down and we're going to accelerate, actually. We're going to accelerate on it and we're going to be pumping forward more and more and more. And we're going to lose more and more of our rights. At some point, there's a breaking point on all this. I don't know where that breaking point is. I mean, listen. You know, up through the election here and President Trump, I was reading all kinds of articles and all kinds of stories about the end of times and end of the world and America if Trump didn't get in. I remember reading a piece in Newsweek, as I recall. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember Pat Robertson, you know, the pastor there. And he was saying that, you know, the president's definitely going to be reelected. President Trump, he had a prophetic. He had this vision. He said he was talking to God. And God told him not to worry. President Trump was going to be reelected. This is real. It's in Newsweek. I'm telling you right now. And he said he had it all figured out that it was going to be the end time. In fact, I'm going to look it up right now as I'm talking to you. Here it is here. Okay, so just it's on Newsweek. Televangelist Pat Robertson predicts Trump re-election sparks war, assassination, end times. And this was just written, he wrote this three weeks ago, I guess. Yeah, about 3.5 weeks ago, the end of November. The end of October, rather. How about we get that right? End of October. And he goes on and he has all these, and he says he spoke to God and God told him that, you know, without question, and you'll love this here, without question, Donald Trump, who we've become very addicted to him, will be reelected November 3rd, ushering in an era of assassination attempts, civil unrest, world war, and ultimately the end times. It's a hell of a read, I'll tell you. And I started looking at it and thinking more, but that title tells you enough. I'm not going to dive into that piece itself. But there's a couple of takeaways there, number one. Number one is the fact that, you know, everybody thinks, again, God has it all figured out. It's exactly where I started with you moments ago. God's going to fix everything. Well, Pat Robertson thought that too. The point is a lot of these people are having visions that, you know, it was going to be a cakewalk to President Trump and the evil forces would be lied down and put out to rest because, well, because God was in charge. And he wouldn't want to cause this misery about putting a Joe Biden who has one foot already in the grave as the head of this country, which would really be Kamala Harris, which would really be the Marxist communists, which would really be all of those crazy evil people, which would mean that, you know, God, we're really done. I mean, we really are done then, right? Is that the idea? And then back to the resiliency, America's resiliency. I wonder how that fits into the whole resiliency plan of America, right? And the idea that we're here for a reason. So, you know, this whole thing then with the media, the social media, the connectivity, you get a picture of why we're here now and what's kind of happened. And I think it's important sometimes to step back, my friends, and look at this thing in a different way, through a different lens, than to get on here every day and rail about the Democrats or the Republicans, which are basically the elephants and the jackasses, and just talk about everything that's wrong with our political establishment, right? I seen a post the other day somewhere from somebody, I don't recall who, that wanted to start a new party with President Trump. You might have seen it. It was on, again, it was on the one of the favorite crack social media outlets. And it was, in fact, we're going to create a new party for President Trump and call it the Lion because we don't need your elephant or your jackass. Well, they said donkey, but it really is a jackass. And the jackass term fits the Democrat Party far more than the donkey. I really prefer to call them jackasses. And so it's the elephants and the jackasses. They want to create a lion now. Just put the lion in there, and then you have the lion, which would be president. I like that idea. Quite frankly, win, lose, or draw, whatever happens, I think President Trump should start a new party. I'm all in there, man. I'll absolutely support that. In fact, I'll help him. I'll help be the chairman or clean the toilet bowls or whatever the hell I can do to help the party move forward, you know? But I like that idea. It's time we break this thing up, break this monopoly up of the shit fits and the double shit fits over here, you know, the two corrupt political parties that they are. It is time we break that up in our nation and start to do something. As I say, we need a handful of political parties, push that power out a little bit. Now, we don't need as many as Israel has, by golly. You see how many they got, but we could use a couple more anyways or so. And then fix the system. And there are ways I've been talking to you like yesterday with fixing the system. The election system, again, you know, having one system for all United States. I talked to you about that yesterday, not red and blue states and everybody have their own theory, but just, you know, one system so we can like look like some sort of a quasi put together half-witted democracy, maybe would be an idea, wouldn't it? You know, another idea would be give term limits across the board. I've talked to you that about enough as well. And I want to talk about that today, but across the board, everybody. Congress, Senate, Supreme Court, and the higher ups and all these government, everybody, nobody passes go and collects $200, mom. They all are only here for a piece of time and they go away. They go bye-bye. Got to have that turnover. It's like the fresh snow coming on. You got to have the fresh snow to cover up the yellow snow that's at the bottom because the yellow snow never looks too good, especially when you build a snowman, it gets all over your hands. So you want to have fresh snow on top of the yellow snow, you see? That's the problem with Washington. There's never any fresh snow. It's all yellow snow up there. And then it gets evil and, you know, they just do their evil things up there and get rich on our dime. And they're all, and then they're in bed with the social media people and the media people who think they are, they got all the control because they offered us a free product and we got suckered in. We got suckered into the drug of choice. And now they're manipulating us. They got us right by the short hairs is what they're doing now. Now they're grabbing us right there. It's what they're doing. And I'll prove it to you here. I mean, they are, how do I say here? Out of control. They are out of control. That is the story that is going to be written when we look back 50 years in the history books. What's going to be written, my fellow Americans, is this. The oligarchs and the tech giants and the people who ran the what they call the mainstream media, whatever that means, and the cable media and the social media and all of these medias. That is going to be the story of today. How corrupt and evil these people were and really are Satan's disciples, these people, and how they operate themselves. And that's the story today. Wow. Now, there's some interesting points I want to make on this social media component and the media component about how that impacts the election and how they're really ratcheting down. I'm going to look at Donald Trump's Twitter feed as well with you, because that's the only social media he's on right now. So it has to, whether you like Twitter or not, I can't help you, but that's where he's at. He's not on some of these others, although there is a lot of talk about him getting to one of the others, probably after the election win, lose, or draw. I imagine he is pretty ripping pissed with Twitter, with what they're doing here. So I would imagine that'll happen. I would have to imagine it's going to happen after the election. And potentially there'll be, again, a giant sucking sound of that everybody leaving Twitter at once. They'll all be gone somehow. And they'll probably get to, I don't know, Parler, Gab, or this new one, Meiwei. They like MeWe, rather, not Meiwei. Meiwei's a Chinese food place, I think. I think it's MeWe. And so I'm not familiar with MeWe, but it could be MeWeWe. We'll take a pause. We'll be back with more Voice of the Nation just after this.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
And, you know, there was all this talk leading up to the election about, you know, how they were going to censor everybody. I mean, a lot of these people didn't even hide what they were going to do. And you see, it really is like the drug dealer at the local neighborhood corner, and they got your drug of choice and they know it. And you meet, you know, Big Jack at the corner, and Big Jack, you know, he's got your number, and you're going to do what Big Jack wants. So Big Jack ain't going to give you the goods. It's that simple. And, you know, Big Jack has the stash. You want the stash? Well, you got to play by Big Jack's rules, you see. They all fall into the same category. Big Mark, Big Zuck, we'll call him, right? Big Zuck. And then you've got all the rest of them and the media people, the networks, whoever they are, including your Fox News, which, of course, now is a long past hurtful divorce. It was a love affair at one time with conservatives, but it is in divorce mode as people are divorcing them and leaving Fox by the droves. And by the way, I've been tuning into Newsmax, and I like what I see there. I think I prefer that one a little bit. I check out a little bit, too. I don't get a lot of time for this, but I did check a little bit of that as well. some of the programs, you know, if you could take a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and a little bit of the other, put them together, you'd probably have a good network there. I think Newsmax has a real chance to potentially rival Fox in some capacity. OAN maybe could too if they got a little more polish on it. They need a little more polish there, you see? A little more polish. And in some of the hosts, like they have some, like on Newsweek, Newsmax rather, and on OAN, there are some very good hosts, and then there are some really bad hosts and some subpar and then really bad. So you got three levels. You got good, subpar, and then really bad stuff. And if they could figure all that out, because if you take a little bit from each and put it together, you'd have a probably a very viable network, I would think, to compete with Fox. Fox is weird. They're doing some weird stuff these days. I mean, you see that, what's her name in the mornings? I don't even know their names anymore. The blonde there, Sarah or Sandy, whatever it is. And she's on with Gallagher in the morning there. And I seen her one time the other day and on the videos that they were playing on the Newsmax channel election. They showed her face where she cringed when somebody said something about the election to discredit because they had an opinion that was different. Than, well, just because the news media said that he was president-elect. And she, oh, my God. She like, you see the grimace on her face. Trace, shut that off. And you see that picture there of that Sandy. Like Sandy, I don't think that's Olivia Newton-John in the Grease Sandy, but I think it's Sandy or Sandra Smith. Yeah, maybe that's it. And I never did watch her much anyways, but you see the grimace in the face and the look, oh my God, Trey, shut that off. And Trey, you know, obliges, of course, being a good California man as he is and shuts it off. And I think he's from California, I believe. But anyways, and they were just insulted completely because this guest, political astute guest would possibly say that they had a difference of opinion and that potentially the media shouldn't have called the president-elect because the races are being discredited. But you see, when you want to create a narrative and you want to create, this is what they've done all along. They've done that. That was the whole Russia collusion charm. You just keep saying Russia, collusion, Mueller. Eventually, you begin to go to your night and sleep when you put your head on your pillow and say Russia, collusion, Mueller. And you start to think that when you have these nightmares and dreams and wake up in a sweat and say, oh my God, that's really what happened. It's all brainwashing. It's all brainwashing is all it is. They want you to get to think a different way, act a different way, be a different way. It's what it's all about, people. And so this notice, you're going to love this next story here about your friends at Twitter, Jack. I don't know Jack, haven't met Jack, haven't interacted with Jack, but I know a lot of people like to tweet Jack and put at Jack, his name out there. And I can't say I've done that because I'm not trying to draw attention to myself with Jack because I don't really trust him or it or they, whoever they are. So be sure if I'm waving you down on the road, I definitely want your attention. And if I don't wave you down on the road, I'm not going to be a smartass to get your attention when I don't want it. Y'all may want to consider there's your flagging Jack and Twitter that they are watching what everybody's. They are the Orwellian. They are the George Orwell of today. Compliments of you all who gave them the keys to be that way. They are that. Started with a simple thing of the Wizard of Oz who was behind the curtain. We've come far from those days on the yellow brick road, haven't we now? You know? Oh, the metaphors in there, truly. So there's one story in TechCrunch I want to share with you here. And it was Twitter. And this is a doozy here. Twitter may slow down users' ability to like tweets containing misinformation. Now, misinformation by whose standards? You see, in the Constitution and the free press, it doesn't say in the Constitution, well, you know, under your free speech, not really free press, but free press is free speech, right? The free speech part of that clause doesn't say, well, you know, only when we agree or if we disagree, we're going to call it misinformation or disinformation, or we're going to cut you off at the pass or something like that. It doesn't work that way. That doesn't know how that we can, you know, we can agree to disagree. I say that a lot of times to people. And then I go along my way. I don't like never call them again or get mad or pissed off at them. You know, we're supposed to not agree on everything. It's perfectly okay. It's like, when did we start changing those rules where I hate you because you don't like my brand of Snickers, you know? When did we start doing all that? You just cut everybody off the pass because you're not agreeing with me. Of course, that's what social media is founded on. You don't like somebody, what they think, you say you turd. I have people calling me out all the time, all kinds of names, all kinds of things, or calling me out about how my fella Trump lost, ha, 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 you know? I hear that a lot. I see that a lot, all over the place, actually. I don't respond to them, so it's okay. I'm not really on their flavor of crack, and I'm not into the drug, and so I don't really need it. It doesn't make my day. I just as soon open up a nice bottle of wine if I want to get high, okay? So I don't need Twitter for that, or Facebook, or LinkedIn, or whatever, or Parler. Is it Pala, or is it Parler, or is it Pala? Like they say it up in the Northeast, they say Pala. They don't really say Parler. There's a Parler, there's an R at the end of that thing, I think, right? Parler. So, but Twitter is definitely Twithead, for sure. So this article here in TechCrunch, Twitter may slow down users' ability to like tweets containing misinformation. Okay. Let's take a look at this now. So they're working very feverishly right now at the moment to expand the use of its misinformation labels. Isn't that sweet? And they're expanding that to put that on as many tweets as they can. And they're going to slow all your tweets down. So now they're only going to give you little drips of crack here, little drips of your drug. They're going to now they're going to make you want more. It's going to be, now you're going to be like foaming at the mouth. Like, you know, you'll be salivating and you want some more of that drug because they're going to weed you off of it and make you struggle and suffer. That's what they're doing now. And I'll come back to that in a moment, but let's go to the president's feed right now. Okay. Right now here and take a look at his feed. And now they are marking the president up like nothing I've ever seen. Now that the election has kind of happened, and this kind of started, well, in the heat of the election season, for sure. And then now past the election, they're like, nah, 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 you're not going to be the president. And that is really what they're doing. And they're doing this now in the face of all of it. And president to no president, I mean, they are just marking his Twitter feed up like nothing you've ever seen before in your life. And they actually did this to me. Pretty cool. I felt pretty important last Sunday, actually. I thought, hell, man, they're marking the president up, and they just did that to me as well. I must be in good company, man. I mean, they just did that. They put disclaimers on the tweet. You are a moron. Doesn't really say that, but more or less what they're suggesting. And you don't really know new good information like we do. Got to stop spreading that disinformation there, Mr. Malcolm, Mr. Donald. So I felt really important over the weekend there when they marked up my tweets and said, you're part of the disinformation campaign. You're part of the bad boys club. I was a little shocked at first because I didn't know what I did. And there was nothing evil about the tweet, but I mentioned something about Hammer and Scorecard. That was it. I really didn't know a lot more. I was having a general on and we figured we'd talk about this software, you know, Hammer and Scorecard. He called it Hammer and Sickle, very appropriately, of course. We got to see how this flushes out and the reality of this. I still don't know at the moment, although they have put a compelling case forward. Sidney Powell has, and the general has, and a host of other people. And I've circled the wagons on that, and we've talked about it. And hopefully the president is, if it's a real and it's doing what they say it is, and they seem very convincing to me, I mean, unless they're pathological liars, I mean, they do seem like that's very real. And in which case, I think this president's got to know about it at this point, that the tech people, you can't hide this stuff for the long road. I mean, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all of the time, people. It's not possible. So that information has got to be up there. They've got to be looking at it, I would think. And we'll see. So right now, Twitter has got their tongue out and their hands on their head, just like in the schoolyard thing. Na, 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 na. And that's what they're doing to number 45. You just go to his feed, at Real Donald Trump, and you'll see what I mean. You'll see a whole host of tweets, and you'll see how offensive they are. Now, this is because, and it's not, now let me be clear with you. This has nothing to do, although they dislike this president in a favor, he's in a very favorable club for people we hate the most. He would be at the top of that club. Now, a lot of us would be in that club as well, myself included, present company, and I'm sure many of you would be. We'd be in that club with our friend Donald here as well, the president, the Mr. President. And so, you know, everybody's being marked up with these now. So, I mean, they've gone full in pursuit here of the president. But anybody who does things or steps on them or mentions anything, they're all over it. And here's what it says. This claim about election fraud is disputed. Now, who exactly is disputing that? What does that really mean? Where does that really come from? And who makes the final decision? Is it the is there a guy in a room somewhere, the tech god almighty of some sort, the tech god almighty, and this person decides what is being disputed and not? I mean, who makes that rule? Oh, the media, the AP did, or Fox News or CNN? Which one, NBC? Which one made that rule exactly, I wonder, to think who was going to be disputed or not disputed? So I've been thinking a lot about this disputing business, and I started looking at his feed, and, you know, this first one here, a guy named Al Schmidt, a Philadelphia commissioner and so-called Republican rhino, you know, is being used big time by the fake news media to explain how honest things were with respect to the election in Philadelphia. He refuses to look at a mountain of corruption and dishonesty. We win. Well, that's his opinion. People, that's called, you know, free speech. That's just his opinion. I mean, I could tell you all kinds of things and it would be my opinion. You could tell me your ideas and we could sit and laugh at each other and it would be my opinion. It would be your opinion. And that's an American thing. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, where are we if we don't have the diversity of thought and the diversity of opinion? Like, well, Google doesn't like it. Jack doesn't like it. So he's got a thing on there. This claim about election fraud is disputed. Right in blue. You can't miss it. And you click it. And then it goes to a story they've got up there. Voter fraud of any kind is exceedingly rare in the U.S., election experts confirm. So now they're giving you their opinion, which they believe is not disputed. Is this hilarious or what? Or is it sick more so? So now their opinion, which they, so their convincing opinion of free, because you see, they own it. That's, they are in charge of the crack. They have the crack. They are in charge of the crack. They hand the crack out as you want to have it. And I'll get back to the other story in a moment on TechCrunch. And so now here's the story they're feeding you from VOA News. Voter fraud of any kind is exceedingly rare in the U.S., election experts confirm. So the election is true, Mr. President. Shut the hell up and go home, basically, is what Jack is saying. Okay? I mean, there it is right there. So that's the story they give you. Now, you come down a little bit further in his feed, and there's a whole host of these in here. Make no mistake. I mean, you don't have to go very far. Another one he's got, again, his opinion. People will not accept this rigged election. Now, we can typically say those things. I mean, this is, there was a time we weren't like the Soviet Union people. There was a time where we all had a difference of opinion and it was acceptable to do this at the water cooler. And there was a time when this was also in the newspaper that I delivered as a young boy, I was talking to earlier in the program about. And that was full of lies as well. And Walter Cronkite was lying to everybody as well. Don't think for a minute they weren't lying. They were, as I told you, they were lying with the hieroglyphics back in the pyramids. They were lying then too. They've been lying all the way through. It's just part of our human condition. There are no truthsayers here. It is what it is. So that one there, Twitter put the claim. Let me click that on the blue and see what comes up. I didn't do that. And well, same story. So I guess maybe they only have one writer, one column, one story from VOA News. But that one clicks to that. That one's getting a lot of hits. I wish they'd asked me to write that story from America Out Loud. I would have written it and told them a few do-si-dos in there. Can you imagine all the clicks that's getting? My golly. That author, whoever that is, has got to be very successful, or very popular all of a sudden because they're getting all the clicks. And they're forcing you to do it. Now, here's another one. This is from The Federalist and says, I was in Philadelphia watching fraud happen. Here's how it went down. And there's a link on there. And I think it goes to some sort of video or something. I think it's a long video. I think I might have clicked on it. I don't know. Anyways, it's long, I think. And it says they shut out our poll watchers and observers. Those hundreds of thousands of votes should not be allowed corrupt politics. And again, Twitter's got their disclaimer on there. This claim about election fraud is disputed. Yeah. And I just clicked that federal snow. And that's just a story. Actually, I was thinking about another tweet just to, you know, call me out on that later. But that's another one. And the one right below that, a brave patriot. More and more people are stepping forward to expose this rigged election. Again, Twitter, this claim about election fraud is disputed. And that's all over the first tweet, the retweet, the second tweet, the third tweet. Twitter staying with it all and continue to tell you. And I got to stop a minute and tell you about this one on his feed, because I just, this one is truly amazing. I played for you yesterday Pompeo when he said that the election will have a smooth transition to the second term of a Trump administration. And the press was aghast. It was like a breaking news moment or something. Everybody in the room's mouths dropped on the floor. Pompeo, Pompeo. They were all like, come on, you can't be telling us that. Mike, Mike, now wake us up from this dream now. And so it was a brilliant speech. Again, Pompeo has got a great career no matter what he decides to do. He's a very unique fellow. We do have some superstars in the conservative movement and people who get it. I like Pompeo. And so our president, our dear beloved president, puts at the top of that one, that's why Mike was number one in his class at West Point. There you go. There you go. That's right there. And the Secretary of State Pompeo outright denies the election results. There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. This is interesting. And the president puts his comments on the retweet over the tweet. Now, that one wasn't censored, amazingly enough, if you can believe that. That was not censored. And they didn't put their little disclaimer on it. Now, yeah, they may come back and do it later. Maybe it's certain words he's using or something else. But clearly, he says it right there in the video. And they seem to be watching the videos as well and censoring those, you see. So, and the one below that, I don't care what state you're in, this computer voting system is wide open to fraud and intervention at Lou Dobbs. True. And wait until you see what's coming. Now, that's what Donald Trump put out there. And that was just here within the last day. And Twitter didn't like that one as well. This claim about election fraud is disputed. But the point I want you to think about and hang your hat on is when the president says, after the at Lou Dobbs, true, and wait until you see what's coming. So, my fellow Americans, I would think there's got to be something coming from this election. And we're going to be at an interesting moment. Again, we've got plenty of time. We're only a week after those votes, electoral college doesn't happen to the 14th of December. We have plenty of time. Wasn't until over 30 days when Al Gore was removed from the president-elect and the crowning that he got from the media back in the day there in 2000, and Bush got the nod, as you recall. But anyways, back to that tech crunch. I don't want to lose time before I get back to that. So what Twitter's doing now with all those tweets we just did, here's the new rule I thought you'd enjoy, if you are on Twitter, that is that, so they're working to expand the use of its misinformation labels on misleading tweets. The company has developed a new feature, not yet live, but that would pop up a misleading information label when a user tries to like a tweet that's been labeled as misinformation. The feature was discovered by reverse engineer Jane Menchun Wang in the Twitter app code. And Jane Wang says she confirms the addition doesn't prevent a user from continuing to like the tweet. However, it slows you down. So this is what I was referencing earlier, where they just give you little bits of crap now, because now they're going to slow you down so you don't go retweeting all those falsehoods. And so they're going to slow it down a little bit, little bit, little bit. So anyways, that's what's happening there. And I thought that was an interesting piece of information with Twitter now. But they are running the show. Facebook doing the same stuff all over the Facebook platform. In fact, what they're doing, as well as Instagram and all these others, they're taking no election ads whatsoever. It's like they are the judge. They put their gavel down and bang. And they made this decision before the election and said, well, I think 2 months or something like that after the election, there'll be no campaign ads, no election ads, no political ads, no nothing. Don't go past go. You're not going to get there. And they did that with the idea that nobody could twist the answer. These people were so convinced President Trump was going to lose. I wonder why that is, people. Let's think a minute together. Why do you think they all knew that President Trump was going to lose this race? Why do you think that was? You don't think they were all talking to each other, did you? I mean, are we talking like a widespread conspiracy here of some sorts? But they all seem to know that. Isn't that ironic to you? That they all sort of knew that, that that's what was going to happen. You know, I got to tell you, people, when you look at the world of social media and you look at what's transpired and taken place and you look at the world of media and you look at the communications gap and the technology, and now you see where we're at and how the oligarchs are now controlling the conversation there in the tech world, you see? And now you come back and you talk to me about what's different about today than back when we were doing hieroglyphics, you know? And in the day, or writing some sort of a message on Plymouth Rock. And you can see what's happening right here as the power seekers are rising to the top. That is the new Orwellian state. It is what is happening. It is out in front of you. And so back to the question we started with, the resiliency or not of America. So I started there and I want to end there with you, actually. And I would say this to you people, you know, I know we're all addicted to this president who has done magical things for this country. Make no mistake about it. I am a fan of what has transpired over the last 4 years, in spite of every tsunami and miserable evil deed they could throw at the American people and this American president. He has risen to every challenge and countered them back. As I say, he is one of the, probably the only people we could think in modern day politics who can play offense and defense at the same time, while also playing with a rally and a room full of 40, 50,000 fellow Americans. Now that, my friends, is amazing and quite brilliant, actually. So the resiliency of America is going to come down to multiple things. It's going to come down to how much we can weed ourselves off of this cocaine we're on in the social media. It's how much we're going to be able to hold these people accountable in the media world. You see, that's going to play into this as well. All of this is a factor now that is going to have to play into whether there is a resiliency factor there. But, you know, the more and more I think about it, and I know there's a good part of the people who believe that we are doomed because of Kamala and Joe Biden, who, by the way, does not look very resilient these days. If you've seen him in the last few days at the conferences and walking out there, I got to tell you what, he is hurting. He is hurting. And I can only say he has really taken one for his team. Him and his miserable wife, the doctor there, has certainly taken one for the team. And talk about a new level of low in what they've done there. He does not look well at all. I'm not so sure he'll make it to Inauguration Day if there is one. And God willing, the creek don't rise, there won't be one for the Biden campaign. And this message that the president put out there moments ago about the news that's coming will be forthcoming. It is a story, my friends, that will be told as we continue to write the chapter of history here in this great nation. But I suggest to leave you here. America is a resilient country. We are a resilient people. We are not stupid. And we need to break this habit of crack cocaine with these media companies once and for all. And we need to start partnering with people who matter, people who have our back, and stop bitching and complaining about the people and then give them our business. And maybe that's the place we need to start. It's time to get involved and get loud.